Assalamu alaikum. My question is, as all this unfolds, what are the duties of the Muslim Ummah around the world? It looks like everything is going to happen only in that part of the world. What is our duty as Muslim?
MashaAllah, I love that question. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet alayhi salam, O Messenger of Allah, if I am alive at that time, what should I do? The Prophet replied and he said, and this answer therefore is not only for the Arabs but also for the Indonesians, Singaporeans, everybody. He says, hold on to the Jama'ah and hold on to the Imam, meaning the Amir. And then Hudhayfa asked, O Messenger of Allah, if there is no Jama'ah and there is no Imam at that time, what should I do? He said, stay away from all those firaq, meaning illegitimate expressions of Islam. Stay away from them. Even if you have to hold on to the stump of a tree and chew and bite it until death overtakes you, do not become a part of that. My response has been from the answer which Dajjal gave, remember in the island, he said to Tamim al-Dari and his companions, when I'm released, I'm going to enter every town and every city. He didn't mention Kampung. And so, we disengage and disconnect from the cities which are the centers of godlessness, the centers of banking, of riba, and we go to the countryside. He said, recite Surah Al-Kahfi for protection from the fitna of the Dajjal. And the first story of Surah Al-Kahfi is the young men who disconnected. They went into a cave. But the Prophet said, the time will come when a man will have to flee to the mountain sides where rain falls, with some sheep and goats in order to preserve and protect his faith. So my response is, get out of the city. Get out of the centers of the Dajjal. Go look for land where land is cheap. And where there is water, there is rainfall. Go there and go and build a Muslim community. They're not going to stop you. No. They're not going to stop you. Provided it is small. It is not threatened them. You can establish Islam as micro-Islam. But you cannot establish Islam as macro-Islam. You cannot take control of the state until that time comes when the Imam is raised. I have a book entitled One Jama'ah, One Amir. I hope it is in the back. That book gives you guidance how to establish the community. I'm going to write another booklet, inshallah, sometime next year, giving guidance concerning how the village, the Muslim village, should operate in order to survive. The market, the micro market. This book, One Jama'ah, One Amir, will give you all the ahadith pertaining to the organization of the Muslim community. The Jama'ah and the Amir and the Sam'u wa Ta'atu, listening and obeying and enforcing the deen. But that book, which will come inshallah, will be small, will tell you how the market will function in your Muslim village, the micro market. We're not going to be using paper money. No. We're going to use real money. And if gold and silver is scarce, we use commodities as money. The Muslim village will have independence of energy, because we have to master the technology and bring down the cost so we can harness solar energy. That's Surah Al-Kahfi. The Muslim village will also take control of education. for every stage of education, the Quran is the foundation. So we produce men and women made of iron and steel, not recycled paper.
Yes, I think that has satisfied your answer, your question. Can we have the second person to question? Maybe can we have from the Muslimat? The Muslimat, can we give chance to them, inshallah? Muslimat, any question? Or do you have any question written on pieces of paper that you can, that you want me to read from that? Okay then, if you do not have any representatives from the Muslimat, can we have more questions from the gentleman, inshallah, from the Muslimin? Come brothers, we do not have much time with Maulana because we seldom see Maulana. So this is an opportunity that you must all take. Second brother, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam.
I'd like to ask Maulana about vertical status and Freemason movement.
The protocols of the elders of Zion I would much prefer to address our subjects privately. Because remember, I want to restrict my role to teach only the Quran and the Hadith, and to go out of that only when it is relevant for explaining the Quran and Hadith. The protocols of the elders of Zion is an important document. Important document. But we don't know where it came from. Nobody knows where it came from. Alright? So when we speak about that document and we don't know who it came from, we don't know what is the significance of what we are analyzing. So I'd much prefer we discuss that privately. Shalom.
Can we have the next person to ask a question? Yes, please, sister. Shalom. Jazakallah. Can you switch on the microphone? I think just the switch.
Assalamu alaikum. I would like to know, the country has seen many people who come up and claim to be Imam Mahdi, and they all have been rejected. How are we so sure that if the next one comes, Imam Mahdi, claim Imam Mahdi, and still people reject that? Thank you.
Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rejected. Rejected by his own family. So there is no guarantee that someone who is sent by Allah will be accepted by all the people. No. Abu Lahab is the uncle of the Prophet. And he rejected him. Similarly, when Imam al-Mahdi emerges, it is very likely that there will be Muslims who declare he's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. That is not Islam. We have Islam. But what is important is that the events which are to follow will validate his claim. In that the Jewish state of Israel has to be destroyed. Only the Imam al-Mahdi will do that. And then the Islamic state of Israel has to replace it. When that happens, you have the confirmation this is Imam al-Mahdi. Prior to that, what I describe as the Islamic revolution in the Arabian Peninsula will take place. And the Saudi Wahhabi state will be consigned to the garbage bin, where rightfully belongs. And Darul Islam will be restored in the Arabian Peninsula. So that will validate the claim of the Imam that he is indeed the Imam.
Thank you, Maulana. Can we have the next question? Sure. Sir, so, just go to the microphone.
Assalamu alaikum. Maulana, I ask two questions. One is that...
One at a time.
Yes. The first question is regarding the riba. At this time and age, as you mentioned, it's all pervasive. It's very difficult to live without it. buy a house in Singapore, you have to buy on loan also. It's so expensive. So what practical guide do you have for us who are destined to live in the city as to how to avoid riba? Second is...
I think we answer the first question first. Alright? Thank you very much. We can sit down. Order some coffee or tea. I don't know how to answer the question.
Those who choose to live in the city, you should go to some other Malana to get the answer. But those who choose to follow the guidance, get out of the city. Go to land where land is cheap and establish the Muslim village. When they come to see me in my Muslim village in Java, inshallah, I would be in a bamboo house. It would be an ugly house. Inshallah, it'd be a pretty house. The floor would be wooden, but the walls would be bamboo skin. And if you go to Java, you'll see how skillful they are in the use of bamboo. Brother Luqman took me all around. We went to Samarang, we went to Solo, we went to Yogyakarta, we went to Bandung, we went to Bogor, we went to Sarang, Chittagong. We went to the villages of Banjin, and I had a chance to see all these beautiful homes. A bamboo house, you don't need a bank loan on interest to build that. And guess what? The house that you'll have in the city and the house that you could have out there in the Muslim village, when Isa alayhi salam returns and you offer him, would you like to live in this house or would you like to live in that house? Which one would he choose? Does that answer your question? Which house would the Messenger of Allah choose? The bamboo house that you build in $5,000? Or this monster of concrete and steel that cost you $500,000? So the cost of living in the village will be much cheaper. And there'll be no need to borrow money on interest from any bank. Go ahead.
Second question, please. Thank you.
The second question to Richard. How about credit card? Is that considered riba also?
Good question. Now, I hope you excuse me. I am a teacher. I have to use a method to teach. A credit card is a card that you get with an agreement with the company. That you get a line of credit, you can use their money for 1 month. And the agreement is that if you repay that money by the end of the month, you pay no interest. But if you do not pay it by the end of the month, then you are obliged to pay interest. And you sign that agreement. Okay? My question is, suppose the agreement was that if you do not pay by the end of the month, you'll have to drink a glass of whiskey. Whiskey. Would you sign an agreement? Huh? Why are you so quiet? Agreement is if you do not pay the money by the end of the month, you will have to drink a glass of whiskey. Would you sign that agreement?
Would you sign it?
I hope they don't have credit cards in their pockets, that's why they're so
bad. Both of them. They can't live home without it.
You will not sign that agreement. No. That if I do not pay you back by the end of the month, I agree to drink a glass of whiskey, I will never sign that agreement. My father will roll in his grave. Okay. Please excuse me, I'm a teacher. If the agreement says that if you do not pay the money by the end of the month, you agree to go and commit zina with the next door neighbor's daughter, would you sign that agreement? Huh? What happened? The credit card pockets a problem in your pockets? No, you will never sign that agreement. Well, the first agreement is worse than the second one, the whiskey. The agreement for riba is worse than the agreement for whiskey. And the agreement for riba is worse than the agreement for zina. How can you sign that one if you would not sign this one? How can you sign that one if you would not sign that one? Have I answered you?
You got a puzzle? Okay, alhamdulillah. Can we go to the last question? The last one, inshallah. Last one. Inshallah. Sister, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we have to take these issues off very seriously as a Muslim. But what is the position of the Muslima who is under the guardianship of the father or the brother or the husband who do not adhere to the Muslim faith, and if they want to do all these things, do you have any advice on this?
First of all, sister, I am not frivolous on this subject. I'm serious. It is just my method of teaching that I want to shock you. I want to wake you up. So I have to use the example of the glass of whiskey, and I have to use the example of zina with the next door neighbor's daughter. It's a method of teaching. It is not frivolous. It is serious. What should a wife do if the husband is bringing in income which is haram, riba money? If she eats from that, she's putting fire in her belly. Yes. What that wife has to do is to inform her husband. Either you get out of riba, or I want my freedom. How many women will stand so firmly? There's some women who are made of iron and steel, but there are many who are made of recycled paper. She would say, what would I do with the children and family, and what would the people say? And so many different excuses. But the one who is made of iron and steel will say to her husband, either you get out of riba, or I want my freedom. If you are dependent upon your father, if you are dependent on your father for livelihood, and what your father is providing for you is haram, riba money, then what you need to do is to get a guardian other than your father, so that you would not be putting fire in your belly. Maybe your uncle, maybe your brother, or someone else. It is only when a Muslim is completely helpless, it is only when a Muslim is completely helpless, there is no road open, none. It is only then that the Quran provides the principle of darura, the doctrine of necessity. At that time you are allowed to eat pork in order to live. But when you apply the principle of darura, number one, don't fill the plate with pork. Eat the minimum. Number two, don't lick your fingers when you eat the pork. Don't enjoy the pork. You should be disgusted by it. I'm only eating this in order to live, that's all, but I hate the stuff. And number three, while you're eating the pork, you must be struggling and struggling and struggling to get food so you can get rid of the pork. In such conditions, a Muslimah is permitted to apply the doctrine of necessity.
Alhamdulillah. I think we have been enlightened so much by Maulana. But unfortunately, I know many of you would like to ask more questions, but we do not have much time. I would like to inform you of Maulana's following lecture tomorrow, which will be at Masjid Kampung Siglap. And that will be on Tuesday, 31st July 2001, and the lecture will start at 9 p.m. after Isha until next morning Fajr. So there will be lots of time for you to ask lots of questions, and Maulana will definitely be able to satisfy all your questions, inshallah. And we would like all Singaporeans would like to thank Maulana Jazakumullah Khairan for having spent his time with us to tell us some things which were very ignorant about. And we, from this lecture onwards, will have your realization to continue on as real Muslims in the eyes of Allah, in the eyes of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to inform you that the books by Maulana are being sold there, so all of you will be invited to buy. Buy one, get one. Free. No, I'm sorry. You buy and then it reverses many Islamic bodies who are in need of donations, inshallah. And with regards to Brother Luqman, those who would like to help Brother Luqman, maybe perhaps tomorrow you are contemplating of selling your house, build a tent below the void deck and give all your proceeds of the sale of the house to Brother Luqman. You can meet Brother Luqman after this, get his bank account or maybe the address. If you would like to satisfy your suspicion, just go there and have a look and maybe you will see the real picture, and please donate generously. Alright? Inshallah, we like to thank some association or somebody who has been responsible for making this lecture a reality. First of all, we like to thank Masjid Al-Khair for allowing us to use this blessed mosque for this lecture tonight. And of course, we like to thank Vision 21 for its effort in promoting Islamic Dawah. And also we like to thank so much Salim Chisti Islamic Education Center for supporting this event until we can hold such a meaningful lecture tonight. And once again, we would all like to thank Maulana Imran Hussain for having spent this time with us. Please don't forget, tomorrow, put it in your diary. Tomorrow, pray Maghrib at Masjid Kampung Siglap. The lecture will continue after Isha, night onwards until maybe about 11 or 12. So all of you are invited to come to Masjid Kampung Siglap tomorrow to continue our lecture tomorrow. The topic will be on Basira, an introduction to Islamic spirituality. Therefore, last but not least, we would like to invite Maulana to say some prayers so that this majlis will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله احد. الله الصمد. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله احد. الله الصمد. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد. برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لحيينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحييه على الإسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. We pray to thee, O Allah, and beg of thee to accept this our Fatiha and Tilawat al-Quran, and to kindly convey its blessings, O Allah, the gift of the Ruh of thy Habib Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and on the Arwah of all the Anbiya, who is the King of the Shuhada, wa susan, O Allah, we pray to thee for mercy of the souls of Sheikh Muhammad Jilani and Sayyid Salim Chishti. O Allah, kindly have mercy on their souls, kindly forgive them their sins. Kindly grant, O Allah, that they may sleep peacefully in their graves. Kindly grant, O Allah, that
may be raised on the last day and receive thy mercy. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim.
Amin. Wabillahi taufiq wal hidayah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.